information is free.
The law?
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Tonight, we care.
Appear to border
it shows.
The law?
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
It's hope and dread, because everything has to be repaid. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, to episode 181 of Media Monarchy. It's August 6, 2010. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, modern man, innocent people, and violent crowds. Obamasiah, war games in high gear, citizenship, shooting spree, and the DC snipers. And all the alternative news from New World Next Week, Corbett Report, Ground Zero, Outside the Box, plus cyber storms, farm dust, and so much more. It's August 6, 2010, episode 181 of MediaMonarchy.com.
Oh,
Modern Man. That's new music from the Watson Twins from their latest record, Talking to You, Talking to Me. And I had the pleasure of seeing them last night here in Portland, Oregon. Nice and cozy. Got a meet and greet. Fantastic. Check out the record. And maybe more on that in just a few minutes. However, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's August 6th, 2010. This is episode 181 of Media Monarchy. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. Your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups, all that and so much more. Coming to you live, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And, of course, thanks to the simultaneous live rebroadcast from zeropointradio.com. And they also kick it out on 92.3 FM and 1670 AM in Casper, Wyoming. And revereradio.net. It's already 1 p.m. on the East Coast, on the worldwide home of free speech. And we also thank the other stations that rebroadcast Media Monarchy later in the week, like our good friends at Free Radio Olympia, 98.5 FM in Olympia, Washington, frolympia.org, 104.1 FM in Berkeley, California, berkeyliberationradio.net, oneskyradio.com on 90.7 FM in Kisilov, Alaska on KWMD, and happy to announce, thanks to my man DJ Judd at Patriot Radio 89.9 FM in La Mesa, Texas, for rebroadcasting Media Monarchy Saturday nights at 10 Central Time. Huge thanks. Of course, thanks to my man Jeff at Radio23.org. He supplies the high-quality downloads of Media Monarchy, suitable for rebroadcast. So if you do have your own alternative news outlet, community, pirate, low power, whatever you got, don't have to ask. Rebroadcast the shows. Just get the high-quality version so it'll sound sweet on a rebroadcast. Other good news, thanks to Tofu Charlie, we are now a part of the feeds on BeforeIt'sNews.com. And I've already seen my web hits spike because of it. So a huge thanks to those guys on BeforeIt'sNews.com. And I will post up a link to that very soon. We'd also like to remind you about the donate button, not only on the top right of MediaMonarchy.com. And again, $10 donation gets you the exclusive DVD from TragedyAndHope.com, 2020 Hindsight, Censorship on the Front Line with Richard Andrew Grove. You should also hit the donate button over on our friend ZeroPointRadio.com. It finally has kicked in. They're just over a quarter of the way there on what they need on their chip-in to stay on the air. If you find these alternative news outlets useful and beneficial, please throw a few bucks. Now more than ever, this all becomes more important, and we've talked about this in weeks past, that one of the main things we can do to fight the controlled demolition of this economy, that again was fake, built on zeros and ones and fiat currency loaned to us at interest from the private central bank known as the not federal and no reserves. And again, we can do it. And that's how we have to kind of connect and grow and keep doing this. Let's quickly glance at the latest news again this August 6th morning, 2010. Jobs must lead, not lag, the recovery. Economy sputters as companies only add 71,000 jobs in July. However, we do have, for the first time ever, U.S. envoy attending the Hiroshima event, of course, today being the 65th anniversary of the dropping of the atomic bomb. So again, we're the only nation in the world who's actually deployed atomic bombs, but yet we still run around and tell who can and can't. So much more swirling around in the news. But we have so much already put down for you on MediaMonarchy.com. And we are going to get to the latest from my sister sites, foodworldorder.com and cyberspacewar.com. So, again, speaking of the Watson twins, you might remember hearing them on mixtape number 2 for Media Monarchy. We've started to do a mixtape series. So, last Saturday, last day of July, we posted up mixtape number 4, The Imperfect Storm, featuring music from Air, Tortoise, Boards of Canada, Spiritualize, Simeon, Pink Floyd, The Orb, and tons more, all mixed together and remixed for you. Again, new folks may not know, I'm a college radio programmer, remixer, DJ, host from back east. So it's really what I enjoy doing, and I've just kind of transferred and gone into alternative news, but still kind of trying to use my know-how from back east doing alternative music programming and put it into alternative news. And I think it fits, and I think it works, and I think a lot of my own kind of feelings and personalities can come through in that way, and hopefully that's what makes these shows hopefully enjoyable and good for you. So again, I implore you to check out mixtape number 4, The Imperfect Storm, and I would definitely implore you to get the high-quality version. Again, thanks to Radio23.org. You can hit that up on feeds.feedburner.com/MediaMonarchyHD. And actually, now that I think of it, I probably shouldn't even put out a low bitrate version of mixtape, since it's all music. At 56K, they're going to sound kind of crappy. So I'll learn my lesson. And again, things are so kind of rapidly changing, and we talk about that in the news world, but I'm now referring specifically to just the amount of web technologies and overlays and file sizes, and YouTube will now let you do 15 minutes and da-da-da-da-da. Just trying to keep up with all these things, so sometimes my feeds are a mess, and I've been working on fixing some of that stuff. So again, if you're subscribed, and you should be, to feeds.feedburner.com/MediaMonarchy. You may have seen some other things flying through there. So again, we're adjusting that. Is that all our prerequisite business? As I now try and look back at my notes. No, there's always more. You can get in touch with me any number of ways. Facebook.com/MediaMonarchy, MySpace, Twitter, YouTube. We are streaming live video right now as we speak on ustream.tv/MediaMonarchy. Blip.tv, cafepress.com/MediaMonarchy gets you a cool Made in America 100% organic cotton t-shirt with the Media Monarchy logo on the front. It throws a buck my way, and it helps spread the word. And again, t-shirts are awesome. MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. And again, thanks to everybody for the news tips and the heads up. Again, not always able to respond to everything, but everything is appreciated. Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, Archive.org, all that, so much more. Again, always just kind of keep an eye on the top right of Media Monarchy. That's going to be where some of the main links and some of the main contact sections are going to happen. All right. We've gone through all our prerequisite business. Let's now turn to the latest news purge, we call it. Posted up yesterday, the 8-5 news purge, and we call it Modern Man, in honor of our opening track, and possibly another track later to come, but more on that later. Right now, 9/11 updates. We've mentioned the plans for this controversial mosque near Ground Zero. Now, Pat Robertson and one of his Christian lobbying front groups has now launched a lawsuit. You can see the AP video. More on that from VOA News. The tussle. The cultural wars. Left versus right, liberal versus conservative, Islam versus Christianity. The left-right paradigm. Now, we have two other related 9/11 bits. Oh, and you know what? I forgot. I did forget one other piece of business. I discovered in my George Carlin collection. Yes, this is a sidebar. We're veering away from the News Purge for just a moment. And it's one of his books on tape, and the title of which now escapes me. I apologize. And a lot of it is one-liners. And I was listening to it, heading to work one day, and I caught this one-liner.
History is not happenstance. It is conspiratorial, carefully planned, and executed by people in power.
Yes. Now, when the late, great George Carlin passed away, I believe 2 years now, a lot of his other videos and statements made the rounds. I know even folks from We Are Change talking to him about the official conspiracy theory of 9/11, and he would say things forcefully about always questioning the official stories of anything. And a lot of his great recorded, released stand-up bits about, of course, the American dream. You gotta be asleep to believe it. I don't recall anybody ever busting out this clip, so maybe you heard it here first. And let's hear it one more time.
History is not happenstance. It is conspiratorial, carefully planned, and executed by people in power.
Bam! There it is. We now return you to your regularly scheduled News Purge, down the 9/11 updates. Two bits of 9/11 related music, and we're just going to play a couple quick clips. First, heavy metal band Fear Factory produced a 9/11 themed track called Controlled Demolition, and it sounds a little something like this. That's Fear Factory with their track, Controlled Demolition, and that's thanks to InfoWars, and there are related links, and have a bunch of other statements where they've gone on the record with other media outlets questioning the official conspiracy theory of 9/11. But that's not all. We have more 9/11 truth music from a band called Black Hats performing Building 7, which sounds a little something like this.
Building 7 was pre-wired. Building 7 didn't just fall down. Building 7 was demolished. Building 7 straight to the ground.
Black Hats performing Building 7, that's B-L-A-K-H-A-T-Z, Black Hats. Putting a little more media into the monarchy, if you will. On down the News Purge now, we get to the latest BioWars EnviroHealth updates. And we're going to hit up, again, thanks to BeforeIt'sNews.com, because apparently MyNotDailyNews.com has scrubbed the story. Again, that's why we always say, make sure you save your articles, make a little PDF of them, or just save the HTML really small, simple, keeps it from going down the memory hole. weather modification company is having a busy summer. North Dakota has been experiencing an unusual weather pattern in recent days. There have been so many storms moving across the state, particularly from Montana into western North Dakota, that it's grabbed the full attention of those who see the storms up close and personal, namely weather modification pilots. The pattern we're in a westerly zonal flow through the atmosphere, very unusual for this time of year, said Mark Schneider, chief meteorologist for the North Dakota Atmospheric Resource Board. Typically this time of year there's a long period of high pressure and storms are steered around the state. But we are in a very aggressive active pattern. We've told you it's called geoengineering. It's now pretty much out in your face that the military, in conjunction with other civilian outlets, are geoengineering the atmosphere. That's their term for it. And it can be very simple, like seeding the clouds in the old school snake oil salesman kind of way. And that's generally, I think, what we're talking about here, something a little more simple. But it paints the whole thing, and no one stops to question what those strange cross-hatching patterns are in the skies. All these things seem to slowly come out. Here's a media sidebar reference for you, since it popped into my head. I watched all of Roland Emmerich's 2012. You know, because I like John Cusack and Woody Harrelson, but geez. In the film, though, Woody Harrelson plays the crazy guy who lives in the woods and broadcasts on shortwave radio. And he's a nut. But ultimately, it turns out he was exactly right about everything. It all comes out. But it gets normalized. Incrementalism. Front group wants taxpayers to pay for BP's Gulf destruction. More on that from Huffington Post. And again, I mean, Gulf oil spill, apparently everything's done. It's all cleaned up. Nothing to worry about. Food safe to eat. Go back to bed, America. That's what it seems like if you look at the news. Oh, it's, you know, it's done. It's cleaned up. We swept it all up. It's over with. Taken care of. Nothing to see here. Chemical weapons to remain off the coast of Hawaii. More on that from BioPrepWatch.com. And here's a bizarre one that, again, as we find, we're playing back into this realm of all the little cultural footballs that get men and women and gays and straights and Republicans and Democrats to all fight against each other in this phony-ass shell game. This is the kind of stuff that gets them going. By way of raw story, taxpayers fund video game that teaches girls how not to score.
It is your money, and the University of Central Florida is using it for a surprising project. It's a $434,000 federal tax dollars that are being spent to develop a video game with life-sized avatars and real-life scenarios.
It's a new concept, and it's aimed at helping teach preteen girls how to resist peer pressure when it comes to sex. Fox 35's Elizabeth Alvarez has the details.
It's a game geared to teach kids, especially middle schoolers, a real life lesson.
A boy similar in age might approach the person playing the game and ask her to make out, or there might be some sexual innuendo.
Wow, sounds risque, but UCF professor Ann Norris says it's not. She's working with the University of Central Florida's Institute for Simulation and Training on creating a virtual game that promotes sexual abstinence among kids.
But we know it doesn't really work out that way. You give them earlier, younger talk about suicide. Oh my God, look at all the kids committing suicide. You give them earlier, younger talk about sex. Oh, look, they're all pregnant. This is all essentially, I firmly believe, setting us up for Huxley's Brave New World type situation. The feelies. Everyone belongs to everyone. We've now got the brain-eating vaccines and the reality behind the conspiracy theory. There's been a back-and-forth. Wired magazine hit piece attempts to debunk legitimate concerns about Agenda 2 chemically lobotomized general public through vaccines and through the water supply. This back and forth has gone between the InfoWars team and some of the folks over on Wired. There is a clip to go along with this, actually 15-minute long video, media pushing brain-eating vaccines. And we have seen a lot of the InfoWars guys pushing a lot of the EnviroHealth issues now. And again, that's what it's going to come down to. That's why I started foodworldorder.com. Again, the back and forth, the psychology of conspiracy denial is the rebuttal to the psychology of conspiracy theories. And I think what ties this up quite well is part three in the series from the fantastic VigilantCitizen.com, Dumbing Down Society, Part 3, How to Reverse Its Effects. This gets into ways specifically how to cut things down, how to cleanse, how to clean yourself up. And it's not really that difficult. But, of course, like MJ said, you got to start with a man in the mirror. Let's move now to drug war updates. Mexico looks to legalization as drug war murders have hit 28,000. Mexico's president, Felipe Calderon, has joined calls for a debate on the legislation of drugs as new figures show thousands of Mexicans every year being slaughtered in cartel wars. We shall see. I imagine it's looking that way. It's looking more and more that way. That in the North American Union, some crappy government ditchweed will be widely available. Also, on the drug war tip from independent.co.uk, Up in Smoke, Cannabis Gave Me Back My Life. Written by someone quite high up who finally was able to overcome the stigma of weed. Let's now jump to geopolitics. Again, we're going down the 8-5 news purge. Modern Man posted up on MediaMonarchy.com, so we're flying fast and furious through things. And again, if you're only listening to the show, you're only getting half. It's all laid out on the page, and you can follow the links and do the research for yourself. Don't take anything I say for gospel. But in the world of geopolitics, the grand chessboard, as Brzezinski would call it, coming from Xinhua, Russia and U.S. to hold anti-terror drills in August, and that would be starting now. Russia and the U.S. will conduct joint military exercises from August 6th to the 14th. That's today, starting today, for a week plus. The drills, codenamed Vigilant Eagle, will involve Air Force servicemen from both countries who will conduct a simulated operation to free an airplane hijacked by terrorists. The exercises will involve two stages. Russian and American fighter jets and long-range radar detection airplanes will take part. The headquarters of the exercises will be based in Russia's Khabarovsk. Obviously mangling that. And Colorado Springs. Backup headquarters will be set in Russia and Anchorage, in another city I'm not going to even attempt to mangle. So there you go, Vigilant Eagle terror drills being run jointly by Russia and the U.S. starting today, August 6th, until the 14th. Recall the events of 9/11 and the Angel Is Next threats to Air Force One. And the phone calls to Putin. And I believe they're even going to run Dr. Strangelove this weekend here in Portland. Here's one for you from Wikinews. This one, I guess none of this should surprise any of us, but it did. On Thursday, Zimbabwean officials informed the media that an Air Zimbabwe Boeing 767 aircraft carrying 250 people had crashed at the Harare International Airport. Before they announced, the reports were false and the incident had in fact been a drill to simulate the occurrence of such an event. Initial reports suggested that a flight from London had crashed upon landing at the airport. However, Medical Rescue International later stated in a post on Facebook that no airplane had crashed and that it had, quote, joined up with other services to attend a mock accident at Harare International Airport. Good to keep the practicing up. massive psyops, military terror drills, and they'll tell you about it on Facebook. Cambodia hosting their first multinational war game exercises. Oh, but from one of my favorites, nationalterroralert.com. Oh my God. Al-Qaeda-linked group says it attacked Japanese supertanker. An Al-Qaeda-linked militant group is now claiming a suicide bomber from its organization was responsible for an attack on a Japanese supertanker last week in the Straits of Hormuz. It's always that dastardly Al-Qaeda. Interestingly enough, Ahmadinejad was unhurt after a motorcade explosion. Some say it was firecrackers. But all it reminds me of is Benazir Bhutto. Our last geopolitical note, we're going to get it from Russia Today and the amazing Professor Michelle Chosadovsky of globalresearch.ca on Iran as the U.S. winks and Israel bites.
A group of former CIA and military officials have written to President Obama to say they believe Israel is preparing to attack Iran this month. The experts describe how Israel's ready for a sudden strike and make it politically impossible for Obama to do anything other than offer full U.S. military support. But Michael Chosadovsky from the Canadian Center for Research on Globalization thinks that in reality, Israel would need Washington's backing first.
Signatories of this memo are very serious and people, and of course this message should be taken very seriously. It is technically, from a military standpoint, impossible for Israel to actually launch a war on Iran without the green light from the United States. We have to understand that this is not strictly an Israeli military project. The United States, since the mid-90s, in fact, has indicated Iran as a possible target. And the war plans, which have been ongoing since 2004, in fact, in the wake of the bombing and invasion of Iraq, have been joint programs, U.S., NATO, and Israel. So that, in fact, these war plans are already ongoing. It may be convenient for Washington to let Israel unleash the attack. And, in fact, Dick Cheney back in 2004 intimated that Israel might do the work for us, so to speak. Iran has 10% of the global oil and gas reserves, five times those of the United States. It has tremendous wealth, and ultimately war in that region is the battle for oil and natural gas. The threat of a war is real. The implications are far-reaching. If that war were launched within the next few months, the whole region would flare up from the eastern Mediterranean right through to the Chinese border.
And we know all too well, unfortunately, how wider wars are kicked off with catalyzing catastrophic events that are usually pretty fishy. And they have the fingerprints of intelligence networks and the whiff of false flag activities. So with all these terror drills and Vigilant Eagle and joint U.S.-Russian terror drills and just wrapping with Korean drills and the Cambodian drills and all of these military exercises, again, provide the theater, if you will. And, of course, they call it theater. It's no accident. That's the stage on which these events spring forward and, of course, fast forward the agenda of the Western finance oligarchs and the elites who owe no allegiance to any country or flag. But, of course, they keep us in those boxes and keep us all rabbled up. But I digress. On down the news purge list, let's get a couple holy hexes. And we've referenced this the last couple of weeks. This is the last bit I know about it. And again, it still sources back, I believe, to the Press Democrat, seem to be the only place covering this year's Bohemian Grove, Schwarzenegger and Murdoch speaking at Bohemian Grove. I don't believe anyone's gotten any footage or recordings or photos or anything, but we can probably be pretty sure that Schwarzenegger was wearing his Skull and Bones belt buckle. The other holy hex note, Indiana teens were high on LSD as they pledged to burn down the satanic church. More on that from the IndieChannel.com. Again, holy hexes being a new subheading for us here as we throw in all the bizarre occult activities going down. But as we get to media and memes, I just see on Google News this morning, on August 6th, something we'll throw into the mix. Naomi Campbell's blood diamonds found. Jeremy Ratcliffe, the South African who once directed Nelson Mandela's children's charity, has confirmed that he received three uncut diamonds from supermodel Naomi Campbell in 1997. I did see some links to some of the videos of Naomi Campbell's testimony, which were making the rounds yesterday, and of course, folks pointing to her all-seeing eye pendant on her necklace. We also have, interestingly enough, by way of newsjunkiepost.com, according to several reports and a Haitian official, singer Wyclef Jean will indeed run for the presidency of Haiti in the upcoming November elections. Haiti has been under the government of René Préval since 2006. Jean will make a formal announcement this week on CNN. Why not on Facebook? Jean is perhaps the most well-known Haitian artist in the world, and he has been able to use his fame to highlight the poverty and deplorable conditions of his people. Soon after the January 12, 2010 earthquake, Jean led a campaign to collect funds to help Haitians through his charity, Yalla Haiti. Art imitates life, imitates politics more and more and more. A quick note from Big Hollywood on the new Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg movie, The Other Guys, and I've seen this pop up in several places, conservative sites first, and then even in our own local city papers, Portland Mercury, Willamette Week. How not to end a comedy. Apparently, this buddy cop movie, The Other Guys, ends with some bizarre, seemingly non sequitur run of financial news. And it's all fairly truthful, hardcore stuff that somebody said would look like it would be out of a Michael Moore film. It's highly appropriate in that it's correct and timely information. However, it just seems like it was tagged on to the end of this film for no apparent reason. We also have a link to Technicult.net where there's an interview and a little bit of a preview of the upcoming documentary about, what do you call him? He's not just a comic writer. The one and only Grant Morrison of The Invisibles and so much more. There's a documentary coming out about him very soon. So again, more on that from Technicult.net. I believe it's called Speaking with Gods. And down at the bottom of our news purge list here, my friends, it's the Oregon oddities. And yes, we have followed this story from week to week, and this looks like the end of it. Again, everything wraps up quite nicely. Nothing to see here. Law enforcement officials in Portland, Oregon have concluded that there is insufficient evidence to proceed with a criminal prosecution of former Vice President Al Gore after a massage therapist accused him of sexually assaulting her in a 2006 incident just a few blocks away from where I live. Oh, geez. Unfortunately, but again, that's why we do this. We like to see the bizarre memes and signs and semiotics of all of it. We don't claim here that the Illuminati is behind every little single thing that happens, but a lot of times we just got to say, sinister forces. Bay Area band frontman dead in a tour van crash, but more specifically, the lead singer of the band Early Graves was killed in an Oregon bus crash. And the last Oregon oddity note, this one is blowing up. Portland lemonade stand runs into health inspectors, needs a $120 license to operate. It appears as though on every level, they're ringing us out. And this is something that we briefly discuss on the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com. Debtor's prison, all of these things we're going to see more aggressively come back. Why do you think they've now spent a bunch of money arming
IRS agents. They're going to get every little dirty penny they can. Again, all built on zeros and ones and sold to us at interest. And again, we never look behind the curtain. Hopefully more of that is happening now. And it's hard, you know, and I've said it a million times, you know, I'm not the picture of health. I'm not the perfect guy. I'm not the guy to be your leader. And I don't try and run a show where we say, you know, this guy's the best and I like this guy or this guy's an agent or any of that infighting garbage. No time for it here. But this is what it's about. Before we jump to police state updates, as I lose my train of thought, I want to remind you again, because I'm over there right now, that you can get in the chat room on ZeroPointRadio.com anytime. And again, I always think those guys as being sort of like co-pilots. Again, all through this virtual world, with thanks to PRARadio.org and all the folks out there who helped make this happen. It's pretty amazing. And I don't take any of this for granted. Police state updates, innocent people and violent crowds. We're going to first mention another great piece on activistpost.com on the ultimate betrayal, police and military working together to oppress us. That would be the U.S., the big U.S. It was called Posse Comitatus. Remember, the military isn't supposed to do law enforcement. But all that's pretty much been obliterated in the fog of war, in the fog of the global war of terror, and the Patriot Act that, of course, our new Change-a-Luya, Obamasiah, just keeps extending. So, in reference to that, here's an interesting one. H.R. 5910, to amend the Homeland Security Act of 2002 to authorize the Secretary of Homeland Security to issue rules that designate no-fly zones in the vicinity of certain nuclear plants and for other purposes. You gotta love that. And for other purposes. We see a lot of prep on a lot of different levels. And again, on this show, we don't try and predict and say, oh, it's gonna happen then. Oh, martial law is coming then. Never quite works out that way. But we like, again, to look at the signs and the symbols and put some speculation on the record. And again, we try not to be conspiracy theorists. We try and be conspiracy facts. Fact checkers, fact searchers, doing the data mining. And that's what we try and do for you on MediaMonarchy.com. That comes from rescommunist.wordpress.com on HR 5910. Now, the battle, and again, the Gulf oil spill is all cleaned up. Situation in Arizona is all taken care of because the Fed stepped in at the last second. Because they probably knew that they had a powder keg of border war, race war, helter-skelter chaos on their hands. And they still probably do. And again, they're going to let it happen. They're building it up. They're hyping it up. Can't wait to see Machete. Mexican drug cartel allegedly puts $1 million bounty on Arizona Sheriff Arpaio's head.
The audio message in Spanish is garbled, but the text is very clear.
It's offering $1 million for Sheriff Joe Arpaio's head, and offering $1,000 for anyone that wants to join the Mexican cartel.
This man, who wants to remain anonymous, says his wife got the text message on Tuesday evening. It also included an international phone number and instructions to pass the message along.
She showed it to me. I was kind of disgusted on it, and I reported it to the Sheriff's Department yesterday. They said that they were going to direct the threat squad on it.
The FBI is aware of it, and they're looking into it.
Lisa Allen of the Sheriff's Office says they believe the message originated in Mexico. And although the sheriff has received numerous death threats in the past, they believe this threat is credible because of its timing.
Oh, Arpaio gets threats pretty routinely, but, you know, obviously, you know, with this heightened awareness of his role in the immigration issue, we've got to take this one a little bit more seriously with $1 million contract out on him.
But Allen says what really concerns investigators is how quickly the message has been spread.
It's going so many different places that our folks are looking at it and thinking, well, at any given point in time, it could land in front of some crazy person who thinks, I can do that.
As for our pilot's reaction to the threat?
It's a little bit like water off a duck's back for him. But, you know, that you never know if it's that sense of false bravado with him. You just can't read it. I'm sure he's concerned. I'm sure he's concerned for his family more than anything else.
As it all plays out. On down, on down, on down the police state updates. California storing the DNA of innocent people, forcing people to provide a DNA sample without any judicial oversight just because a single police officer has arrested them violates the Constitution. That's why California's law mandating that DNA samples be taken from all felony arrestees is facing a legal challenge from the ACLU of Northern California. At issue is Proposition 69, a voter-enacted law which mandates that anyone arrested on suspicion of a felony in California has to hand over a DNA sample regardless of whether or not they are ever charged or convicted. We're going to get a little more on that later. But how about this? From CNET, and more great work from Declan McCullough, feds admit storing checkpoint body scan images. That would be the naked body scanners. For the last few years, federal agencies have defended body scanning by insisting that all images will be discarded as soon as they're viewed. The TSA claimed last summer, for instance, that scanned images cannot be stored or recorded. Now, of course, it turns out that some police agencies are storing the controversial images after all. Gosh, we never expected that. We didn't say they were doing that or that it would happen or that ultimately it would be abused and they would admit it. Such a surprise. Continuing, the U.S. Marshal Service admitted this week that it had surreptitiously saved tens of thousands of images recorded with a millimeter wave system at a security checkpoint of a single Florida courthouse. This follows an earlier disclosure with a PDF download for you by the TSA that it requires all airport body scanners it purchases to be able to store and transmit images for testing, training, and evaluation purposes. The agency says, however, that those capabilities are not normally activated when the devices are installed at airports. And we've covered all the little petty, horny, stupid shit that, of course, is offensive and violates a lot of people's privacy and personal space and so much more. But, of course, the system also, you know, rearranges your DNA. So, California storing DNA of innocent people. Feds admit storing naked body scanner images. Now we have the feds to protect the drug-dispensing postal workers from violent crowds. We have reported on this story about the post office getting the meds when the black ops accidentally release some bioagent during a drill or some sort of false flag attack. The federal government is training postal workers in six U.S. cities to dispense anti-terror drugs in event of a biological attack with the premise that they will be accompanied by law enforcement officers to protect them from, quote, potentially violent crowds. The White House won't name the six cities, and the Department of Homeland Stupidity spokeswoman Amy Kudwa says she can't talk about whether more cities are interested in the voluntary program, reports USA Today. At a cost of $1 million a city, DHS is training postal workers to dispense boxes of drugs accompanied by flyers telling people what to do in the event of a mass casualty attack, mass cal, they like to call it. About 60% of mail carriers volunteered for a trial run of the program in Minneapolis and were able to reach 205,000 households in 8 hours, with the program set to be expanded to enable it to reach all 735,000 households in the Minneapolis metro area. See Something, Say Something campaign expands to Washington, D.C. We get that from nationalterroralert.com, but it's just a press release from the Department of Homeland Stupidity. This See Something, Say Something campaign, reminiscent of the Orwellian UK keep calm and carry on propaganda. And again, they all look like World War II propaganda Nazi era posters. Our last police state note, innocent people in violent crowds, from Advertising Age, adage.com. Is your detergent stalking you? Brazil's Omo detergent using GPS to follow consumers home. Of course, with the promise of great prizes. Omo, it should be noted, is owned by Unilever. They make your soap and your food and so much more. So now we have GPS tracking people home. We already covered Walmart, RFID chips. That's been recently announced to you, as if Walmart just started using RFID. They had never done it before. Right? So we made it through the news purge. We made it through the police state updates. And it just gets worse and worse. Now, yes, the Obamasiah just had a birthday just a couple of days ago. He and I are both Leos. My birthday coming up on the 11th. I'll be 33. How very Masonic of me. Born in 77. Obama boasts end of Iraq war as, of course, the Iran war kicks into high gear. But Obama says the U.S. combat mission in Iraq to end as promised. Let's get this from Aaron Dykes. In an attempt to posture as a man of peace and have kept promises in the lead up to midterm elections, President Obamasiah has declared the end of the war in Iraq, mission accomplished, claiming that withdrawal of troops from Iraq will be completed by August 31st, 2010, and is on schedule as promised. As a candidate for president, I pledge to bring the war in Iraq to a responsible end. I made it clear that by August 31st, 2010, America's combat mission in Iraq would end, and that's exactly what we're doing, as promised and on schedule, Barry Satoro said. Believing this fiction involves ignoring the fact that 50,000 troops or more, as well as countless private military contractors, will remain in Iraq. More on that from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. In addition, it would involve forgetting about Obama's campaign promises to bring troops home starting day one of his administration, with a link to watch the clip of him saying that, or his other promise to bring them home by the end of 2009, with a link to the clip of him saying that. While you're at it, check out the clip of him saying he visited all 54 states. The Obama deception coincides with the news that July was the deadliest month in Iraq since May 2008, though the Pentagon has attempted to dispute these numbers. This announcement also comes shortly after Senator John McCain commented on Iraq, quipping, "We already won that one." Meanwhile, Iraq today is anything but stable, and our continued involvement has helped little, if at all. A country under, what, now 20 years of brutal sanctions and war and white phosphorus and depleted uranium? As again, we keep Hiroshima in mind today on this anniversary. All over the place. And ultimately, this war machine can't really go on much longer. It's not financially possible. And again, anti-war folks, hello, anti-war folks, hello. If you really want to in the war, you know, a good foundation is, of course, 9/11 truth. 9/11 truth ends wars. And we know, just as we've discussed with the drills and false flag activities, and let's just run down the list real quick throughout history: the Reichstag fire, Gulf of Tonkin, sinking of the Maine, Reichstag, another 9/11, another Oklahoma City. False flag events occur on massive and much smaller scales. So whether it's just a cop dressed up like a protester and throwing a rock. Or a massive terror event, such as 9/11. But let's get through all the related Obama-Saya war whores updates that are posted below this. Obama boasts end of Iraq war, as, of course, Iran war kicks into high gear. Let's jump to the aforementioned USA Today for a different story. Public support for Obama's Afghanistan war policy has plummeted amid a rising U.S. death toll and the unauthorized release of classified military documents. This coming from USA Today and a Gallup poll from just 3 days ago. More on that from Press TV. Support for Obama war plans at record low. And, of course, tying in with what we already talked about, Obama drops 2009 pledge to withdraw combat troops from Iraq. Remember, from day one, you can take that to the bank. Which we now should have, I guess, realized. He was just talking about Goldman Sachs. He was talking about his backers. Obama keeps combat troops in Iraq, and they will still engage in combat. More on that from allgov.com. Again, don't believe the hype. There's still going to be 50,000 guys there, tons of private military contractors, you know, like our good friends at... Oh, their names escape me. You know, DynCorp, Halliburton, you know, sex trafficking, drug running... The U.S. isn't leaving Iraq, it's just rebranding the occupation. Again, we don't call it the war on terror anymore. We don't just don't say that word. We're rebranding. Operation, what is this, what's it going to be called? New Hope? I know that's a Star Wars movie, but no, New Dawn. New Dawn, that's it. That's even more appropriately kind of occultish. Obama moves to expand U.S. weapons sales abroad. As he polishes his Nobel Prize, the U.S. is already the biggest supplier of weapons in the world, but Obama is not satisfied. As part of his plan to double the amount of U.S. exports by 2015, Obama wants to ease certain restrictions on military hardware sold abroad. Reminds me of old Donald Rumsfeld arming Kim Jong-il through AQCon, but nobody seems to remember any of that. We fund both sides. We play both ends against the middle. Until we decide which one we'd like to win, we throw a little more dough that way. So whether that's Goldman Sachs to Obama, or the Rothschilds to the Rockefellers to Hitler and the Nazis, you know. Insurance companies profit from troop deaths like MetLife, and these last few articles have all come from the fantastic allgov.com. And, of course, we'll throw out the mention that we did interview head editor of allgov.com, David Walachinsky. Just hit the interview links and check it out. But on down the Obama-Saya war whores updates list, Netherlands becomes the first NATO country to end its combat mission in Afghanistan. Hear, hear. Mirroring Bush-era police state, Obama supports DNA sampling of the public when arrested. In an interview with John Walsh, everybody's favorite, America's Most Wanted, Obama voiced his support for the mandatory collection of DNA samples from U.S. residents who have not been convicted of any crime. It's the right thing to do. Tighten the grip, he said. Everything you are, the state owns it. Or at least they think they do, and they're making you act like they do. You always hear the question, and you hear all the words and isms thrown around. Is Obama a Marxist? No, he works for the banksters. That should be painfully bloody clear by now. Another interesting note on Ahmadinejad calling for a TV debate with Obama, which would be probably pretty fantastic. But what is not fantastic is Andy of Mayberry shilling for Obamacare.
1965. A lot of good things came out that year, like Medicare. This year, like always, we'll have our guaranteed benefits. And with the new health care law, more good things are coming. Free checkups, lower prescription costs, and better ways to protect us and Medicare from fraud. See what else is new. I think you're going to like it.
Yes, the reanimated corpse of Matlock is selling seniors on Obamacare. But interestingly enough, on the flip side, in Missouri, something called Proposition C passed with over 70% support that essentially is a repudiation of Obamacare, of the health care overlay being shoved down everyone's throat, regardless of whether or not you want it. And again, I'm all for health care for everybody. It would only make sense. And of course, we could do it for a fraction of the price that we're killing people and destroying the world, essentially, environmentally and psychically. As we always joke, Bill Hicks, about the high-tech weapons. Couldn't we just shoot that guy a banana? Can't we put a man in an apartment instead of a man on the moon? Whoops. Obama's mother's passport was... it was destroyed. It was totally, totally an accident. More on that from WorldNet Daily and Raw Story. And again, WorldNet Daily covering, of course, as we said, it was recently the Obamasiah Barry Satoru's birthday. Obama skeptics wish President a happy birther day. And CNN's bad news for Obama. 6 out of 10 people doubt the U.S. birth story. We cover some of the birther-related topics. We've never spent a whole bunch of time on it. I find it fascinating, though, again, within this left-right paradigm, the conspiracies some folks will believe and the other conspiracies that they think are crackpot ridiculous. And I'm not trying to say which one's right and which one's wrong. It's just I do find it really interesting just even talking to folks about what things they believe and other things that they don't. I know the one off the top of my head, there's a guy at work who totally believes in man-made global warming, but thinks the moon landing was fake. Fascinating indeed, my friends. And on a disturbing note, let's mention and sling a little bit of mud at material girl Michelle Obama as modern-day Marie Antoinette while she's on a glitzy Spanish vacation. More on that from the New York Daily News. And again, I'm not saying you can't go out and shop and you can't go do stuff, but it just smacks of, I don't know, bad taste. Let them eat cake while Condi and Michelle and all the other folks traipse around the world like nothing's going on. It's all good. The last couple notes here on Obamasiah, end of the Iraq wars, Iran war kicks into high gear with the war whores updates and all the other related connections. Speaking of connections, and again, this is the amazing work sometimes that media outlets and researchers won't do. It has to fall to a 12-year-old girl discovering the royal bloodlines running deep with U.S. presidents.
It's a great thing for history.
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, William Howard Taft, and President Barack Obama. One young girl traced them all back to one common ancestor.
They're all cousins and all grandsons of John Lackland.
It's the first family tree of its kind. Pouring through more than 500,000 names for months, 12-year-old Bridge Ann D'Avignon discovered that all the U.S. presidents, except Martin Van Buren, are related to the former King of England, John Lackland Plantagenet, signer of the Magna Carta in 1215.
Mildred Reed is his first great-grandmother on George Washington.
And on Obama, Mildred Reed is the 10th great-grandmother.
It started as an assignment to research her own lineage, tracing it back to roots in France. But Bridge Anne wanted to branch out.
Well, I think we just all go back somewhere. It's just a matter of proving it.
She started with George Washington. But unlike other professional genealogists that only looked at the male family lines, Bridge Anne was able to link the presidents together using both male and female ancestry. Before this, historians had only been able to link 22 family trees.
She kind of created a triumph of women's studies here.
Bridge Anne also figured out she's an 18th cousin of President Obama, something she hopes to be able to share with him in person.
I've written a letter to Obama, but I just gotten standard reply. I hope to meet the president and, like, explain it to him.
In Paso Robles, Adam Rakusin, your Central Coast News.
And hopefully she is off to the races and down the rabbit hole and is now seeing exactly the way things work. Girl discovers royal blood runs deep with U.S. presidents. That originates from KREM News. And our last note here on Obama-Saya-related updates, goody, goody. The senators have confirmed the lovely Elena Kagan as the 112th Supreme Court Justice. And we can, you know, we can whittle down. I think the Bill of Rights is just a little cumbersome. We can probably whittle it down and get rid of some of those things. Now, let's make a quick reference to a comment at the bottom of this post from my man Jeff Long of Redacted News and RockCreekFreePress.com, of which, after today's show, I'm running to the post office to pick up the latest issue of Rock Creek Free Press. Jeff notes that here, as Obama boasts about ending the Iraq War, that maybe Cousin Barry's being somewhat truthful. I don't think he said he was bringing the troops home, just bringing the numbers down in Iraq by August's end. Pure speculation here, but methinks in what he meant to say is that he'll be moving the troops into Iran as the beating of the war drums by the media and pundits ratchet up the hysteria. He just forgot to mention that part in his drawdown rhetoric, the relocation to Iran. My friends, we're now well into hour number two of episode 181 of Media Monarchy. It's August 6, 2010. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups, live with you every Friday morning on the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, and again, huge thanks to zeropointradio.com, revereradio.net, frolympia.org, berkeleyliberationradio.net, onesskyradio.com, radio23.org, and so much more. And again, folks, if you find this information compelling, if you think this could be the way that folks could get turned on to this kind of information, that maybe won't listen to a 4-hour shortwave broadcast every day. Hopefully, the pieces all fit together, and hopefully these things can make sense, and hopefully we can all help each other learn. Now we hit one of the stories we covered on the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com, my weekly video series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Americans renounce citizenship to avoid the IRS. And we noted this article comes from the Financial Times of London, kind of the mouthpiece to and from the elites. And I think, essentially, a lot of the rats are jumping the ship. And as we've said, a lot of these folks owe no allegiance to any country or flag. They keep us in that little tribal mindset, but they're way beyond that. As Ned Beatty and Network said, there are no nations, there are no countries. There's only BP and Goldman Sachs and News Corp and Google. But rather than getting into the bulk of this article, which again is from Financial Times, which they love to make their articles difficult to reach, so again, always save PDFs of your articles before they disappear behind a paywall as the paywalls start to pop up all over the web. Let's get another report from Russia Today where someone who has done just this, given up, renounced their American citizenship. And more than that, they also note that the U.S. government is the largest criminal organization in the world.
unemployment number is still high and prospects for new jobs for many Americans still low. It looks like record numbers of Americans are choosing to move abroad and give up their U.S. citizenship. I'm joined now by one man who has done just that. Michael Lusky is an ex-American citizen who now lives in Slovakia. Mike, tell me what led to your decision to give up your U.S. citizenship.
Well, for me, it was a matter of finding myself connected to what I view as the largest criminal organization in the world, the United States government, which goes out and has been starting wars all over the world for a long time. And I didn't want to be a part of that, officially or unofficially. So I left and later renounced my citizenship in order to sort of divorce from the American government.
And I know that the United States is one of the only countries who taxes its citizens who live abroad. Was that one of your reasons for giving up citizenship, to avoid getting taxed?
No, there are exemptions in the tax law that provide for an income floor below which you're not subject to American tax, and I wish that I made enough money for that to be a concern for me, but it's just not.
And did you always have this kind of anti-American sentiment, or do you think things have gotten worse in recent years? It seems as if more people are choosing what you chose, to give up their citizenship recently. Do you think that's a reflection of the times?
Well, I wouldn't call myself anti-American in the sense of opposed to the land or the people. It's the government that's the problem. So I do think it is a reflection of the times, however, that things are getting quite bad, and people are now starting to recognize they have more opportunities in other places.
And when exactly did you give up your citizenship, and what factors specifically led to that decision? I know you kind of mentioned before your feelings, but were there any things that you were noticing or observing that really kind of made you say, hey, this is something that I want to do?
I renounced my citizenship at the end of 2008 in December. And I had made the firm commitment to do it back in April of 2008. This was at a time when there was a lot of media attention on what was then the saber rattling going on against Iran and the suggestion that the nuclear facilities in Iran ought to be bombed.
Okay, and, you know, I don't want to kind of push any buttons here, but many people, you mentioned, you know, you're not anti-American, you're not against the land or the people, but some people might call you a traitor for what you've done. You know, if you were really concerned about what America was doing or the direction it was heading in, some people might say, hey, you know, it would be better to try to change things than maybe run away and disown the country you were born in.
Well, that's a choice that many people make, is to try to live within the system. For myself, it wasn't one that was feasible for me to live with. So I chose to leave and eventually chose to break that tie, so to speak.
And in the past 2 years since you've renounced your citizenship, do you think things have gotten better or worse from observing the United States from abroad now?
It's very difficult to tell. I think that in many ways the American system is in a downward spiral, and that's to do with war, debt, and what you could call a decaying culture. And certainly the Obama administration hasn't shown itself to be taking things in anything like a positive direction like a lot of people hope for.
And why Slovakia? What are you doing there? And do you believe your life is better now that you've given up your U.S. citizenship and moved abroad?
Slovakia was kind of intended as the first stop on a multi-year world tour that I was going on with my girlfriend. And shortly after we arrived here, we split up. I decided I liked the place and stayed, and she went off and did her own thing. So it was kind of a random choice, but I found myself comfortable here.
And what kind of implications do you think this is going to have on the United States if more people kind of choose your path and decide to move abroad because of their kind of similar feelings that you have, that they don't want to be associated with the way this country is handling itself?
Well, obviously, if lots of high-income people do this and lots of business people who provide the, you know, kind of the motive force behind what's left of the American economy do this, the U.S. government has a real problem facing it with regard to tax revenues. I don't really see millions taking this course for whatever reason. It is a major life change and one that can't be taken lightly, especially when folks have families and friends to consider in the process.
Well, Mike, it's really interesting to kind of hear your perspective, and of course, you know, it'll be interesting to see if more people do choose that option that you have chose. That was Michael Goldsky, who renounced his American citizenship back in 2008.
And there you have it. Now, they reference at the end of that clip if a lot of wealthy people do it, and that's really what this Financial Times article, that's the basis of this post, Americans renounce citizenship to avoid IRS, that's what it's all about. We have the flashback, and we covered this story back in April. There was an article in the New York Times about essentially the exact same thing. Americans renouncing citizenship to avoid the infernal revenue service, which, again, we already mentioned, is now being heavily armed. More American expatriates give up citizenship. That's the title. And we have a few related econocrash notes. And we're going to blast through them very, very quickly. Interestingly enough, amazingly enough, a family was able to save their house from foreclosure thanks to Superman.
We have a heartwarming story tonight about a family about to lose their home to foreclosure, suddenly rescued by Superman, or at least his comic book. The family was in the process of packing up and moving out of their home when they discovered what is considered the holy grail of comics in their basement. This one, a rare copy of Action Comics number one, which introduced Superman to the world. It looked like back in 1938 there. The Superman comic could fetch $250,000 when it goes to auction online on August 27th.
It's been really amazing to knowing that in this house for all these years, this comic's been sitting there. And it's just been, you know, under their noses. It's astounding.
Just waiting to save their house years later. The family lives in the South, wants to remain anonymous. In the meantime, the comic book auctioneer spoke with the bank. It has agreed to allow the family to remain in their home until they receive the money from the auctioned-off Man of Steel comic.
And then next we have the outgoing White House Budget Director Peter Orszag being heckled as a fascist pig.
Peter Orszag is at the Brookings Institute this morning, delivering his last speech there before he steps down as OMB director. Look at your screen. Look at what happens after he takes a question.
My question is, what do you think of this song that was inspired by you that I wrote? It goes, Peter Orszag and Larry Summers, they're fascist pigs. Okay. They're fascist pigs. They say...
Oh, all right. Well, thank you for that. What else are you going to do?
Sharing is caring.
Right? What else are you going to do? Well, thank you for that. Let's get the heck out of here. Yikes.
He's going to miss that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he will. Definitely.
He loves being the subject of the media. It's really enjoyable to him, I'm sure. Yeah.
He's a relatively good sport, though.
Well, and at least, you know, they didn't tase him, bro. And our third and final econocrash clip, temporary Philadelphia firehouse closures underway.
Now the news tonight, some rolling closures are now underway at firehouses in Philadelphia. It's all part of a money-saving effort brought on by the city's budget crisis. Eyewitness News at Engine Company 57, where neighbors joined fire union officials and political leaders in a protest today. Engine 57 was closed for today, along with two other units. Now, other closures will be spread among 23 designated fire stations citywide, all to save some $3.5 million in overtime.
It is time to stop using the fire stations as the city's ATM machines. Nutter needs cash for another problem. He closes a fire station.
This is a lot of unnecessary hysteria that's being drummed up for reasons that have nothing to do with fire service whatsoever.
Now, firefighters say that the closures will lead to increased response times, and they say that will jeopardize public safety, but city officials disagree.
And again, we see all the services being shut down in cities because they can't afford it anymore. The systematic controlled demolition of our economies. But again, once the folks hurry up and realize that we can fund our own food and media and community, we can cut out the banksters, and hopefully on some level we can take care of ourselves as the poop hits the fan. Moving right along on MediaMonarchy.com, as the mass murder contagion apparently knows no time of year. Of course, we always note that the Ides of April seem to hold a lot of mass murder events. Cho at Virginia Tech, Columbine, Oklahoma City, on and on. But this we have from the Associated Press, as well as murder-suicide.blogspot.com, which I've been trying to tell you about. Disturbingly, thorough sight, to say the very least. Connecticut man kills 8 co-workers and then himself at a beer distributor. A high-ranking union official says a man who fatally shot 8 co-workers and himself at a beer distributorship in Connecticut had been caught on videotape stealing beer. Union officials say Omar Thornton had worked as a driver for a couple of years and had been called in for disciplinary hearing Tuesday and asked to resign. He instead opened fire at a warehouse in Manchester, Connecticut. The mother of Thornton's girlfriend says he had complained of racial harassment and that his bosses had not responded. But a union official tells the AP that Thornton had made no complaint of racism to us or to any federal or state agency. Teamsters Local 1035 official Christopher Ruse says Thornton was, quote, a disgruntled employee who shot a bunch of people. More on this story from the New York Daily News and more from the Associated Press. And again, murder-suicide.blogspot.com. A couple of other murder and mayhem related updates. Journalist Christopher Story. He was the guy behind a site called worldreports.org, has died suspiciously, and as 911blogger.com noted, the media blackout was in place. Christopher Story, veteran UK-based economic intel journalist, died suspiciously on July 14th. His last post on his website on July 10th read in part, CIA, Cheney, MI6, Obama, Bush Sr. have attempted to assassinate Christopher Story. A detailed report on this assassination attempt and the horrible illness inflicted on the editor as a consequence will be published as soon as feasible. Interestingly enough, as 911blogger.com noted, the media blackout in place, the story appears to be scrubbed from their site. So I now have linked up just the Google cache of this story. This is something I haven't spent a whole bunch of time diving into, but again, I ask you guys to do more research and to keep sending me news tips, and we flesh all this out together. The other unfortunate murder and mayhem update, school bus crash in Missouri, killing at least 2, injuring 50-plus. That's the latest I have on that story. And there are a few comments posted on this story about the Omar Thornton, Connecticut shooting spree. And again, I believe, as I mentioned last week, I had to turn on the comment moderation. Was getting too much spam on all the sites. So now I have to approve them. But my friends, as long as we're discussing murder and mayhem, this fits quite well, with a little dash of history mystery thrown in. And of course, I'll mention to you guys, If you may not know, I'm originally from West Virginia, and I was still in Shepherdstown when the DC sniper events were going on, and it hit quite close. And even an addendum to this is something I forget about at times, is there was a copycat event a year later in West Virginia, a case that's never been solved. 3 people killed sniper style, exactly like the DC sniper case. However, here and now, this coming from Aaron Dykes on truthnews.us, DC sniper Lee Malvo claims other conspirators were involved but later killed. In a startling conversation with William Shatner for the upcoming program Aftermath with William Shatner, convicted DC sniper Lee Malvo, that would be the younger of the two, the older being John Allen Muhammad, Malvo makes new claims that at least 2 other co-conspirators besides ringleader John Muhammad were to be involved in the shootings but later backed out. These 2 co-conspirators were then allegedly killed for quitting at Muhammad's insistence. A preview report on ABC News demonstrates audio of Lee Boyd Malvo, M-A-L-V-O, convicted for his role in the 2002 murder spree and serving life in prison, who now claims involvement in 42 shootings, many more than the 13 known shootings discussed publicly. And again, more on this from AOLnews.com and the Miami Herald. But let's get into this, and let's get into it deep and listen to the whole preview. And this show, I believe, has now already aired. It aired last night on A&E. DC sniper Lee Boyd Malvo claims other conspirators were involved, but later killed.
William Shatner. We all know the name, but when you think about him, you don't normally think of him as a hard-hitting interviewer. But that's exactly what he's doing now. He's going to bring us a conversation he had with Lee Malvo, one of the D.C. snipers. Why? Well, it's a sneak peek at his new A&E series called Aftermath, about what happens when people are transformed from unknown citizens to household names overnight. Take a look.
Lee Malvo.
Yes, Mr. Shatner.
Lee, how are you doing in there?
I'm doing okay.
Lee Malvo was just 17 years old when he and 41-year-old John Muhammad carried out a three-week-long terror spree that brought the D.C. area to its knees. 13 people shot at random in the fall of 2002.
And have been on the end of either watching someone die or killing someone in so many different circumstances, mowing the lawn, on a highway, and at any time, you can die.
It was a well-thought-out plot masterminded by John Muhammad to wreak havoc.
Six slain a day.
Please, we have a lady that's been shot.
We need ambulance at the corner of Wells and Connecticut.
Hurry up!
He wanted people in terror. He wanted people talking about this. He wanted people worried. He wanted to disturb the entire area.
But their deadly activities began long before the duo reached D.C. Malvo says there were some 40 other shootings across the country, and that John Muhammad carefully trained him to be a killer.
He was training me to be a crime, and then he would watch the crime, and then evaluate me after it was finished, and we work on the next time, what was wrong, what I need to change emotionally, in my approach, in my tactics.
He was approaching it like, this is how you make a better killing.
Yes.
And Malvo claims the original plan was for the two D.C. snipers to be joined by others.
Lee, was there anybody else involved? Were there any co-conspirators?
There were two other people who were supposed to be involved, but in the end, they ended up backing out. See, what was supposed to happen was that there was supposed to be three to four snipers with silent weapons, silent rifles. And in this way, you could do a lot more damage along the entire Eastern Seaboard than, but in the end, it was only Muhammad and myself.
Amazing to hear his voice. Malvo was sentenced to life without parole for his role in the Washington area sniper shootings. Now, Mr. William Shatner isn't just giving us the clip. There he is right now, joining us from L.A. with more details about this astonishing conversation. Mr. Shatner, thank you for joining us. Good luck on the new series.
Thank you. It's on Monday nights on Bio Channel at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, depending on the time where you are. It's an extraordinary series of people, but it premieres tonight on the A&E, so it's a little confusing. A&E at 10 o'clock tonight, the D.C. Sniper, which is the beginning of Aftermath on Bio Channel on Monday nights.
And when is it on?
Monday nights on the Bio Channel, about 10, 11 o'clock, depending on where you are. This D.C. Sniper story was the most extraordinary thing I've ever been a part of. We had planned to talk to him many weeks prior to the conversation, and it was going to happen on a Wednesday or a Friday from 4 to 6. And so I was in my office, we had a camera, and we mic'd and all that, the producers, the directors, and we sat there from 4 to 6, day after day for months, really. And on the last day that I could do it, the last day before the show had to be locked, the phone rang, and there was Malvo. He had access to one phone, several prisoners, and he couldn't get to the phone from with the convenience that we could if he were free. So it was an extraordinary event to talk to the man around whom we had built our show.
So how are you adapting to this new role, excuse the pun, because you're asking real questions. Often this is going to be a one-take situation, a little bit of an uncomfortable role. How are you finding it?
Well, it's extraordinary. It's and exciting because you don't know what's going to happen. I get to talk to Bernie Goetz, the subway vigilante, who at one point in the hour pulls out a gun, a fake gun that we had supplied, and shows me how to shoot four people as quickly as possible. I talk to Jessica Lynch, who describes what it was like to be lauded as a heroine, and then she has to decide to tell the truth. I talked to Dave Kaczynski, the brother of Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, who has to turn his beloved brother in when he realizes he is the Unabomber. Time and again,
talking to these people who are revealing things about these crimes that happened some time ago, the aftermath of which we're following, and it is, it turns out to be utterly, I can only come back to the word, fascinating.
What did you make of Malvo? So young when this happened, but again, such heinous acts that he participated in over such a prolonged period, but how did he strike you?
He was a kid who was brainwashed. He was a malleable teenager and lacking love in his life. John Muhammad supplies the love and influences him to become a killer. And he becomes a cold-blooded killer at the age of 17. Now he begins, he's in jail, and now he begins to, the turmoil in his mind. I ask him at the end, will God forgive you? And he says, if I can forgive myself. The turnabout, the fact that remorse creeps into his life, the fact that I talked to three of the victims, two of whom can forgive and get on with their lives, but the third victim can't. So we talk about forgiveness, and it all links up. The victim and the perpetrator are all linked inextricably by these human emotions.
I think one of the best one of the best selling points of this series might be your excitement about it. I mean, I've talked to you several times, but you seem genuinely moved by these conversations.
Aftermath, which is on Bio Channel on Monday, but a special on A&E tonight, is one of the most exciting things I've ever done. I am totally immersed in the idea and looking forward to following through with more people and more events that occupied our attention 3 years ago, 5 years ago. What happened to those people? That's what we follow.
Well, we'll be looking forward to it. Mr. Shatner, thank you. A pleasure, as always. Good luck with the series.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to having your viewers watch it.
That was interesting. A little extra information there about how Malvo said there were supposed to be more shooters, not just him and Muhammad. So we'll see what else we learn when the show comes on. Confessions of a D.C. Sniper with William Shatner premieres, as he said, tonight on AE.
So, Lee Boyd Malvo claiming other conspirators involved later dispatched. And we pull again from the Associated Press report on this story down at the very bottom. Malvo, who lives in segregation at a maximum security prison, said he is filled with hope and dread for his future. It's a little bit of both, he said. It's hope and dread because everything has to be repaid. Let's now shift gears, my friends, and run down all the latest alternative news that I'm a fan of, that I find valuable, that I'm fortunate enough to be connected to in one way or another. And that would, of course, be NewWorldNextWeek.com, my weekly video series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Our latest episodes up, Renouncing Citizenship, Pentagon Soft War, and Regulating Dust. Now, we already covered the renouncing citizenship, but we're going to get to software and dust on cyberspace war and food world order, respectively. But again, NewWorldNextWeek.com will get you the feed for the high-quality downloads of the weekly show. Appropriately enough, following the murder and the mayhem and the DC sniper, the latest episode from Corbett Report 140, Requiem for the Suicided. This is the latest entry in the ongoing series from CorbettReport.com. In the past, going over the story of Gary Webb. But in this episode, turning the focus on Sergeant Terrence Yakey, one of the first responder heroes at the scene of the Oklahoma City bombing, who discovered something that conflicted with the official story of the bombing, something that cost him his life. We went over, I guess perhaps several months ago now, when We Are Change Oklahoma put together a short documentary on the story of Sergeant Terrence Yakey. It's an amazing story. I highly recommend the episode. It's highly informative on the official conspiracy theory of the Oklahoma City bombing. And we put Terrence Yakey right up there with the aforementioned Gary Webb, or folks like Danny Castellaro or John O'Neill, other folks who knew too much. There's also latest interviews from CorbettReport.com with James Lane, Tom Secker, Michael Murphy, G. Edward Griffin, And, of course, the amazing Sunday Update episodes, the latest on the SEC secrecy, the flu vaccines 2010, and, of course, the government killing 9/11 heroes. Korber Report even posted up a great video of Japanese fireworks at the Japanese Fireworks Festival in high definition up on YouTube.com/Korber Report. And again, much like perhaps my mixtape episodes, you sometimes have to take a breath. It can't be all hardcore news and politics all the time. But the latest episode from a man, Clyde Lewis, of GroundZeroMedia.org is called Digital Zombie. And this is a story that we briefly touched over either last week or the week before. But now the mainstream media has another crisis that they have to tell you about, and that is the evils of digital drugs, or iDosing. The story that we originally referenced in Oklahoma highlighted a perceived crisis of children downloading MP3s containing sounds that, according to the report, induce the same effects as marijuana and LSD. The report was first filed by KWTV News Channel 9 in Oklahoma and demonstrated how a TV channel desperately wants to be the first to induce a mass psychosis, mass hysteria, moral panic by showing young people wearing headphones, listening to binaural beats and psychotronic drones and tripping out. The episode is fascinating, and again, you can get the downloads from ZeroPointRadio.com. Much like Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org, they need your support to continue to do this amazing work. Clyde even has an update on iDosing. Come on, feel the noise. And again, tying in the reactions to his latest episode, Digital Zombie. Now, on a sad note, my man Alex Ansari has posted what he is referring to the last edition of Outside the Box TV. It's episode 262. And he's been doing these shows for the last several years here on the Portland Community Media television channel. And unfortunately, I don't keep close enough contact with Alex Ansari, even though we're both right here in Portland, Oregon. So I'm not exactly sure what he is up to or what he's going to do next. But as always, Outside the Box, fantastic information. I posted up and put the playlist together for you. It's in 6 YouTube parts. And it's all there for you. Outside the Box, episode 262, the final episode, I guess, until we hear something else. Now, for the remainder 20-some minutes of this episode, and again, I love you guys for sticking with me, for going through all this. I wonder sometimes if even 2 hours a week is too much for folks, but then there's other times where 2 hours a week isn't nearly enough to go over all of this news, and again, I try and do it all justice, but there's no way I can go into all of it. The show has more or less over the years now become essentially, I think, your weekly news rundown, the massive news purge. We give you sometimes in depth, sometimes just a brief headline, I think, most of what's going on across the world. And again, I thank you for the news tips. One of these days, we're going to get other editors posting stories and links to some of the sites. But again, I'm a one-man band, and it all takes a little bit of time. But again, thanks to all the folks who helped this operation grow. And again, I'll remind you to hit the donate button at the top of MediaMonarchy.com. Your support helps keep independent alternative media going. Again, while we have the free and open web, as we do right now, all these things and all these bells and whistles and all these toys and the microphones and the lights and the camera and the Twitter and the tweets and all the bells and whistles, they're just tools, and we have to use them as effectively as possible. So having said all that, we're going to jump to cyberspacewar.com for all the latest, and we're going to start off with DEFCON 85, Gold Mines and Greatest Threats, a massive article from the Rupert Murdoch-owned News Corp Wall Street Journal. Massive article, video, interactive graphics. It's got hundreds of comments on the web's new gold mine, Your Secrets. A Wall Street Journal investigation finds one of the fastest-growing businesses on the internet is the business of spying on consumers. They don't call it the worldwide wiretap for nothing. And going along right along with this, and we've now covered this under different headings, but again, it all ties back to Der Leader, the smiling change from the previous puppet, still fooling people, still with all the damn bumper stickers and t-shirts. God, it's particularly bad here in Portland, Oregon. But I do fortunately still see some Nader bumper stickers, some Cynthia McKinney signs. There's a few holdouts. But again, from allgov.com, Obama administration wants FBI access to web browsing history without a warrant. As part of the National Security Letters process, NSL, which permits the government to obtain records related to terrorist threats without a warrant, the Obama administration wants the FBI to gain access to a user's web browser history. Under the proposal, federal agents also could obtain email addresses and the times and dates that emails were sent and received without a judge's permission. But the content of the emails could only be had with a court order. Administration officials take the position that obtaining the email addresses and times is no different than obtaining a list of calls made by a telephone user, which is already allowed without a warrant. It is unclear whether the new rule would allow access to Facebook friend requests and other such social networking information. Everything continues. Barry Satoro was the blank slate everyone projected their hope and change onto, and he was more than happy to say, yeah, gay marriage, yeah, in the war, yeah, green economy, yeah, blah, blah, blah. None of it. Google and Verizon near deal on pay tiers for the web. That's from the New York Times. We have told you from pretty much day one that they are setting up Internet 2. Call it what you want. It's going to be a pay tier system. That's what's coming. And all they need is a catalyzing, catastrophic event, an I-9-11, if you will, and they're more than ready and willing and waiting with the iPatriot Act. Biometric and other locks fail to foil hackers at DEF CON. That would be the defense conference, massive hacker conference, covered in depth on threat level. Biometric and other locks fail to foil hackers at DEF CON, and we see this all around the board. The more you say, oh, this is unbreakable, oh, there's no way you'll get in, makes people want to try and do it even more. I guess it just depends what color hat they may be wearing, black or white. But also, at the event, I believe an ATM was hacked, and it started to spit out money on stage. They showed a really inexpensive way to spoof and intercept telephone calls. Again, all these things. But again, the feds are always going to sell you on the safety of RFID chips and how secure these things are all going to be. And we see the drums beat more and more and more. Now aiming to seize control, hackers target power plants as U.S. and industry scramble to respond. That is from Fox43.com, and I believe that's just an Associated Press report. But more from just this morning on ABC News, the greatest threat. DHS battles hackers head on. DHS deploys special teams to battle hackers in cyber war for infrastructure. Former CIA director tells ABC News electricity grid vulnerability tops national security concerns. We see the drums being beaten, and we've even seen folks at Wired pretty much debunk the idea that the grids can just be hacked into by any guy. And again, this is what we've referred to as Webster Tarpley calls virtual flag terrorism. And they're just beating the drums for it, building it up more and more and more. And that's why we try and watch the prep of what's going on, what they're trying to prepare us for. And I think it's going to be a big punch in the Facebook. And just the opposite of what happened at the DEF CON event, ATMs aren't going to be spitting out money like a jackpot. It's all going to get fried on the grid. And of course, they talk about infrastructure. And of course, the Patriot Act says that anything you do against critical infrastructure, you're a terrorist. I believe we've seen a story about, I think it was in West Virginia, of people vandalizing Frontier Internet communication headquarters and perhaps disrupting service. They may get charged under Homeland Security Patriot Act. But quickly, still on cyberspacewar.com, tax-funded Pentagon software usually ends up owned by corporations. or Pentagon is losing the soft war. That would be soft war with an E in parentheses. But originally from Defense News, and again thanks to Cryptogon.com, the DoD spends tens of billions of dollars annually creating software that's rarely reused and difficult to adapt to new threats. Instead, much of this software is allowed to become the property of defense companies, resulting in the Department of Defense repeatedly funding the same solutions, or even worse, repaying to use previously created software. This is how it all works. Funding, making yourself indispensable, like the prison industrial complex. Got to keep the war machine rolling. And again, we go over this story on the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com, and there is a related story from Danger Room. CIA software developer goes open source, and that relates directly to the story we just talked about. A story we could have spent and probably should have spent a whole lot more time on. Let's take it from Paul Joseph Watson. Shadowy spy group building dossiers on internet users for feds, and this connects so many things. An organization that tracks 250 million IP addresses a day has been developing portfolios on internet users and handing the information to U.S. federal agencies as the latest incarnation of the supposedly defunct Total Information Awareness spy program is revealed. A group calling itself Project Vigilant went public at the DEF CON, the aforementioned security conference, in an effort to add more recruits to its 600-member-strong cyber spy force. The outfit announced that it had been tracking internet villains for no less than 14 years and handing the info to the feds as part of a massive intel gathering program. However, the target of one such investigation did not fall into the category of cyber criminals, terrorists, drug cartels, mobsters that the group claims to be fighting. The organization encouraged one of its volunteers, researcher Adrian Lemieux, to inform the federal government about the alleged source of a controversial video of civilian deaths in Iraq leaked to whistleblower site WikiLeaks in April. Project Vigilant director Chet Uber used Lemieux's friendship with Bradley Manning, the former U.S. Army intel analyst who allegedly released the collateral murder video, to out Manning, who now faces criminal charges. Uber also founded InfraGuard, the ominous FBI-affiliated public-private partnership that is a key component of the unfolding implementation of martial law in the U.S. and beyond. InfraGuard made its intentions to act as a political police force clear in March 2009, when the group announced that questions surrounding Obama's presidential eligibility were, quote, potentially harmful to civil order and national security. Uber's organization poses as a volunteer-oriented, crime-fighting private outlet, and yet is nothing more than a tentacle of the military-industrial complex's sprawling, unconstitutional internal spy apparatus. So much to go over here, and there are related links to give you the contextual supplemental information. Broadbandreports.com, historycommons.org goes into total information awareness. More from thenextweb.com, the aforementioned Forbes, of Goats and Men, Prison Planet, Free Republic, AFP, on and on. But on cryptome.org, John Young notes that Project Vigilant is a fraud. And all the other WikiLeaks-related items. WikiLeaks posts this mysterious insurance file, some massive 2-gig file that is encrypted in case they go down. WikiLeaks' Julian Assange on conspiracy theories, more on him being annoyed at 9/11 Truth and how stinky that makes this whole Afghan War Diaries WikiLeaks operation smell. Thanks to the aforementioned of goatsandmen.blogspot.com for pointing out diarydig.org, an Afghan war diary search tool. Jacob Applebaum, WikiLeaks volunteer, detained at U.S. border for 3 hours. More on that from the Huffington Post. And the latest surrounding all of this from Bloomberg. Pentagon demands WikiLeaks return all documents. The only thing I want to throw out here real quick is ever since I first saw Adrian Lemieux's name, it seemed fake to me. It seems like it's an anagram of L-M-A-O, or laugh my ass off. As if that's perhaps what the intelligence agencies are doing. Our last note on cyberspacewar.com, sunstorms bring northern lights south, coronal mass ejections hit the Earth, from the Associated Press. Now, we posted this up Monday, but Sunday, solar storms were flaring on the sun, shooting tons of plasma directly at Earth. From Maine to Michigan and anywhere farther north around the globe, you could see basically the northern lights. This was hitting around Tuesday night and early Wednesday. The update with unbelievable photos from Daily Mail on this solar tsunami, northern lights seen as far as Michigan after sun's flare. Which, of course, just reminds me that I watched the horrible 2012 movie. I guess while we're at it, I may as well throw out some of the other media-related things. I watched 2012, I watched Class of Nuke'em High, I watched the unbelievably fun remake of The Stepford Wives, of course, based on the book by Ira Levin, who wrote Rosemary's Baby, but enough about that. Let's jump to foodworldorder.com for the remainder of this show and first hit the binge and purge, what plants crave. So, just like Michelle Obama, now we have the BP exec saying he would absolutely eat Gulf seafood. More on that from Food Safety News, and again, Gulf oil spills over, it's all taken care of. Nothing to worry about. You should pay attention to American Idol or America's Got Something or American Gladiators. I don't know. Food inflation could go beyond 10% before next year. That is from The Telegraph. Poison tap water makes number one Google search, the aforementioned info war being waged on Google, forcing terms like poison tap water and Google spies into becoming top search terms. And again, there are ways that you can kind of game the Google search system. And again, that's what the alternative media is about, forcing these issues out into the public. Case against Coca-Cola's vitamin water. That's right, Coke owns vitamin water. To proceed, again, more from foodsafetynews.com. And we'll close out this binge and purge with a little bit of audio satire.
It's the Onion Radio News. Gatorade pledges $200 million in thirst aid to underquenched nations. This is Doyle Redland reporting. In the largest humanitarian electrolyte replenishment effort in decades, Gatorade will donate $200 million in thirst aid to citizens of 27 UN-designated underquenched third world countries. Gatorade President Tony Highsmith.
Gatorade is scientifically formulated to replenish the fluids and minerals active peasants need.
The massive rehydrative effort is hoped to quench as many as 59 million of the world's desperately hot, tired, and poor by early 2004. Royal Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
Like we said, by way of Idiocracy, it's got what plants crave. Next on foodworldorder.com, and again, following with the aforementioned info war being focused on the food war, the grocery store, along with your kitchen sink, are two of the most dangerous places in the world. Special two-part video from the InfoWars teams getting into the adulteration of the planet's staple crops, genetically altered species, and intentionally altered water, food, and air all amount to a eugenics operation to weaken the masses and achieve full-spectrum dominance. Food, the ultimate secret exposed. We don't have time to get further into that, but again, that 20-minute video is all there for you. But on a good side, we'll get to the good side before we go out on a strange, bizarre, bad note, and the third story that we covered on the latest NewWorldNextWeek.com. But first, from the Boston Globe, farming surges in Massachusetts with a new crop of devotees. After decades of decline, farming resurging across the state of Massachusetts, new farmers, graduates fresh out of college, immigrants with farming backgrounds, former professionals starting second careers, those looking to make a new living from tilling the soil began at training programs run by the state, universities, or nonprofit organizations. In Massachusetts, where farmland is scarce, most lease their acreage from the state, private owners, nonprofits, or farmers with more space than they can cultivate. Now, interestingly enough, a related positive story from the Deseret News, Salt Lake County to discuss creating urban farms, a novel idea to be a novel idea to put unused public property to work, as many agriculture centers will be before the Salt Lake County Council. Maybe they'll take over a golf course. And we've openly speculated, as we talk about dead malls and things, that perhaps we're going to see more of that squatting, maybe even aggressive squatting, if you will. But our final story brings us back again to Oklahoma, which for some reason has popped up repeatedly during this episode 181. From News 9 out of Oklahoma, news9.com, believe it or not, the EPA is going to crack down on farm dust.
A dust-up over possible dust regulation. Our two U.S. senators are rushing to stop an EPA proposal that could impact farmers in our state and across the country. News 9's Jacqueline Sitt has the details.
Anyone who lives in Oklahoma knows a farmer faces all kinds of elements to feed the rest of the country. But now the EPA could make it harder by regulating dust.
We work a lot of our fields.
Curtis Roberts is a fourth-generation farmer and checks on his soybean to alfalfa harvest every day.
I thought we were through with them for the year, but them old suckers hung on.
The webworms and the critters in the crops are all part of the daily grind.
That's what we thought we'd have a lot of trouble with this year, with these big old grasshoppers.
And now the earth under his feet could pack onto the list of problems. Roberts heard the EPA could be cracking down on dust in rural farms, and farmers like him could face a fine.
Anytime we work ground, we're going to have dust, and I don't know how they would regulate it.
Lawmakers, including Senators Jim Inhofe and Tom Coburn, sent a letter to the EPA stating the government's plan to control dust would be burdensome for farmers. Quote, whether it's livestock kicking up dust, soybeans being combined on a dry day in the fall, or driving a car down a gravel road, dust is a naturally occurring event, end quote. In a statement, Inhofe tells us Oklahoma farmers are being targeted by the EPA's proposed regulations, scheduled to be finalized next year. Quote, these regulations defy common sense, and they will impose higher costs for farmers' operations. This is typical of the Obama EPA, which time and again shows its contempt for rural America.
We as an organization do not feel that dust is a pollutant.
Oklahoma Farm Bureau President Mike Spradlin says the rules could be detrimental to farmers across the sooner state.
Matter of fact, it'd almost be impossible for us to comply with what's being addressed now from the EPA. Again, you know, as agriculture, so we're doing everything we possibly can.
See, you're going to have some common sense. We don't like dust anymore than anybody, but it's something we've got to live with.
Over 20 senators have signed this letter voicing their concerns about the possible regulations and have asked the EPA to reconsider their decision.
Farm dust, the latest terror that's going to get us all. That and this last sad related update by way of the Associated Press. After 378 years, a New Hampshire family farm goes up for sale. If only they could find a basement full of Action Comics to save their farm, as we're all trying to save our farms on a multitude of levels. My friends, that's pretty much going to do it for this episode 181 of MediaMonarchy.com. Let's glance at some of our creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. I keep track through StatCounter.com. Some of the interesting folks who visit the site, like the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, the American Society of Civil Engineers, the Radiation and Nuclear Safety Authority out of Southern Finland, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office out of Alexandria, Virginia, Suncoast Modeling and Lingerie out of Palm Harbor, Florida, and of course, Headquarters USAISC out of Davenport, Iowa, and lastly, the fine folks at J.P. Morgan Chase visited MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. Hopefully, they were reading about the holy hex that's been placed on them by the one and only Reverend Billy. Of course, I'll remind you to check out my recent interview on Mountaintop Revival. But that's going to do it. And again, my friends, I implore you to subscribe to feeds.feedburner.com/MediaMonarchy. The links are all up there. You won't miss a thing. And again, we share this information, and that's how it all ratchets up, and that's how we reach greater understanding. Because the most important thing to admit is probably that you don't know shit. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, my name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups, reminding you not only to not hate the media, but to become the media, but to get active or get radioactive. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRAradio.org, the New World Nexus video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.